إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A blessed praise. We ask Him to send His peace and blessings upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon all of the prophets, his companions, his family, and those who follow them till the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the third chapter of the Quran, there's a very powerful verse. It says, Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwa wal malaika وَعُلُوا الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in this verse that He Himself bears witness to His oneness, to His tawheed. Imam al-Razi, one of the great scholars of the Qur'an, said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears witness to His oneness through the agency of His creation. As one of the poets, he said, "Ala wa inna li kulli shay'in ayah tadullu ala annahu wahid." You know, as one of the poets said, everything in existence points to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Wal malaika, and the angels, they bear witness to this as well, to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the malaika to make sujood to Adam. This is iqrar. This is an admission. وَإِقْرَارُ سَيِّدْ الْأَدِلَّةِ. You know, and the admission is the strongest evidence by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, as they said in the same chapter, in the same page, نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, that we magnify you, we praise you. So this is how the malaika bear witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thirdly, the people of knowledge, they bear witness to Allah and His oneness. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as related by Imam Muslim, أَنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, you are the witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this earth. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And the ulama said that the scholars, they bear witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi al-dala'il wal-barahim wal-hujaj, with evidences. And here Allah says, qa'iman bil-qist, that all of this is done with justice. And those scholars who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remind people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are going to do so in the proper way, then they have to do so recognizing and honoring justice. I'dilu huwa aqrabu li taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be just, it's closer to taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also Surah Al-Hadid, لَقَدَ أَرْسَلْنَا وَرُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Hadid that indeed we sent the messengers with clear proofs. The book and Mizan. Mizan wal Qiyas. And we did that so people could establish justice. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, this is a proof that the illah, that the cause behind revelation and the sending of the prophets is to establish justice. And as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأُولُ الْعِلْمِ, the people of knowledge, قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ, قَالْ to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with justice. And in the end of Surah Hadid, here we see a very interesting pattern, that people are going to respond to knowledge and information through two means. First are those people who use their hearts and use their minds, and they respond to the call of truth. إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِي يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. As mentioned in the end of Surah Ali Imran, those people in their dua and their supplication, they say, oh our Lord, indeed we have heard a caller who calls to Iman and we have responded. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. They don't need a lot of aggression. They just need proofs. As is the case of Sayyidina Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the people told him, did you hear what this man he claimed to have done, what he claimed to have accomplished on the night of Isra wa Mi'raj? And he said, if he said it, faqad sadaq, he's truthful. He doesn't need a lot of pressure or motivation. He just needs something that can cause his mind to think properly. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls these people ulul albab. Because the word albab is the plural for lib, a seed. He doesn't just call them the people of knowledge, but he calls them the people of, if you literally were to translate it from Surah Ali Imran, the وَمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, that the only people who are going to benefit from this type of reminders are the people of seeded minds, is the actual translation, because a seed, when it's planted, it brings out fruit, it brings out benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٍ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the believer, he compares them to a tree, right, that grows from a seed to a strong stem that brings out fruit. The fruit are the actions. So the people who benefit from the call of the prophets cognitively, right, there are those who their mind and their hearts are clear. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَنْ يُعَلِّمْنَا مَا يَنْفَعَنَا. And the second program for teaching people is more disciplined, a little firm, and that's why the end of Surah Al-Hadid is a methodology for the ulama. وَنُعَلِّمُهُمْ بِالْحُجَّةِ وَالْبَرَاهِينِ وَثَانِي نُعَلِّمُهُمْ بِالْحَدِيدِ الْمَتِينِ. That some people you just need to teach them. And when they see clear proofs, it touches their heart, it touches their mind. As Irbab ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he reminded us, our hearts were moved and our eyes were filled with tears. They benefited just from listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Their heart is pure. But there are others who need a more disciplined approach. So Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. And also, just as we sent prophets with clear proofs, we also sent iron. And iron here is talking about that there are people who need to be disciplined, people who need to be brought in check. Not everybody can simply benefit from proofs and evidences. But both are done with justice. Both are done in recognition of justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning that the purpose, as we talked about now, of sending the Quran and Sunnah and this deen, inna deena indallahi al-Islam, is the establishment of justice, he carries on this responsibility to the believers in two places, and it's very unique. The first is the end of the fourth chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'a lillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, he said, kunu qawwamin. The word qawwam is the form in Arabic, fu'al. As Ibn Malik said, wa ba'du fal fi'lu ma yuhkim tasarrufahu yahuz min lughat al abwab wa subula. You know, it's hope our brothers and sisters can take advantage of the opportunities to study with some of our mashaykh, because this is important. Allah says, qawwamin bil qist. Qawwamin is the form in Arabic which is sighat al-harf, which means the form of someone who serves. Like we call, for example, the carpenter in Arabic, Najjar. Najjar, Fu'al. We call the plumber, Subak, Fu'al. And our sisters might like this. The same form at the end of this verse in Surah Nisa, Wallah says, Qawwamina bilqist, is the same form that Allah orders us as men with regards to our women. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa. You know, that men, and it's translated, you know, a little differently, but the meaning should be that men are at the service of their women. They are constantly looking after their needs, because the form, fu'al, sighat al-harf. So here Allah says, kunu qawwamina bilqisti shuhada'a lillah. The same meaning now, be at the service of establishing justice, shuhada, witnessing for Allah. In the fifth chapter of the Quran, we have a similar verse, but it changes the order. But it still orders us as believers to be custodians. That's the word. Qawwamin, custodians of our women. Qawwamin, custodians of justice as believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu lillahi qawwamina bilqist. O you who believe, kunu, be as you are witnesses to Allah in establishing the truth. Here the order changes. So Allah mentions in Surah Ma'idah, Shuhada'u lillahi, be witness to Allah, then you establish justice. In Surah Nisa, establish justice, then be witnesses to Allah. The difference is qawwamin is implying tanfidh, to establish or to practice. And the scholars, they discuss something here interesting. Why in the fourth chapter of the Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering us to establish justice and then make da'wah? But in the fifth chapter of the Quran, Allah is ordering us to make da'wah and then establish justice. Because Surah Nisa, the discussion is primarily about our own community, how we live amongst each other as Muslims, how we deal with each other, how we deal with our families, how we deal with our wives and our children. So here, the propensity for hypocrisy amongst the believers is greater. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to establish in our own lives justice amongst ourselves, internally, in our homes, in our hearts, in the people around us, before we preach it to ourselves. But Surah Ma'idah is different. It's talking about Ahl Kitab, non-Muslims. And the goal here, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مَنْ رَبِّكَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. As mentioned in the end of the fifth chapter of the Quran, O Messenger of Allah, بَلِّغْ 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 relate. So Surah Nisa is talking about the internal relationship we have as believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say what you don't do? Because maybe amongst ourselves, we talk about things that we don't do. Maybe amongst ourselves, we have the propensity to show off. يَرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So here we're ordered in our own house, in our own house, to establish justice before we call to it. Because God forbid we become from the people of hypocrisy. But when it comes to those who aren't Muslim, it's code red. It's code red. As Imam Malik said, if people waited till they did things before they called people to things, nothing would get called to. Meaning that here, people, they are not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not accepting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't worry about what you're doing or what you're not doing. Your job is to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But within the community of believers, your job is to be careful of hypocrisy and establish the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this is rooted in justice. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْتِ, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you judge between people, judge with them, between them, with justice. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who taught us to stand for justice, who even said, if my own daughter were to steal something, I will punish her for that. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And his khulafa, for example, Umar radiallahu anhu, who he was sent a letter from Egypt to him from a Christian woman, who said that Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, when he wanted to expand the masjid, he knocked down my home to build the mosque. And Umar radiallahu anhu sent her the money to buy and purchase for her a new home. And he wrote a long letter where he criticized Amr ibn As. And one of the things that he mentioned to him was to be just. Amr ibn As himself, when he was in Egypt, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wahid Safuf al-Masriyin. When he was in Egypt and his son raced a non-Muslim man and the non-Muslim man defeated him and his son beat him. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, when he heard about this, he went to this non-Muslim man, he gave him the whip and he said, hit me. And he said, how can I hit you? You're the leader of this area. He said, hit me. He said, but how can I do that? He said, if you don't hit me, I'm going to punish you. So the Amir, he ordered this man, this non-Muslim man, to punish him. And then he gave this impassionate speech about the importance of justice and how parents have to be responsible for their children and how their children act. We are an ummah of justice. We are a community that establishes justice. And when we fail to do this, we'll not find the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ummah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yaj'alna qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'i lillah. Kama nas'alu subhanahu wa ta'ala an yunawwir qulubana bil iman wa yuhabbib ilayna al Qur'an. Aqulu qawli hadha astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه أحمده سبحانه وتعالى كم ينبغي لجلاله وجهه وعظيم سلطانه وأسلي وأسلم على من بعث رحمة للعالمين سيد الأولين والآخرين محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل وسلم عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى يا رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us, as was mentioned in a few places, to be completely just, internally and externally. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْتِ كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْتِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ يعني internally and externally. Internally, make sure that you practice what you say. Externally, call the people to justice. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajik wa li binatik. Say, O Muhammad, to your wives and to your daughters and then to the believing men and women that they should cover. Subhanallah, the ulama, they said, notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with the wives and the daughters of the Prophet first, because you have to establish things in your own life before you project into the larger community. Justice. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on a number of occasions, he was praised by the people for his sense of justice and his sense of commitment, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that reminds us, in this time in America, of a great American, a great historical figure, who his commitment to justice is what makes him beloved to many of us. And this was, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. Although he wasn't Muslim, but again, we are a just ummah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hikmatu Dalatul Mu'min, that wisdom is the lost property of the believer. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he used to relate this hadith, he used to add to it, Fakhudha hatta min al-mushrikeen. Ali used to, when he would relate this hadith, Karramallahu wajh, he would say, and take it, even if it's from the people who don't believe in Islam. Wherever you find the hikmah, khudha. And what we're going to do is take two important lessons from the life of this man that are found in our tradition, that are rooted in our tradition. And the first is the problem of racism in society and the problem of racism in our own community. Anyone who believes in the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be able to see his transcendence and his creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the ikhtilaf alwanikum, that the difference of your colors and your tribe and your nation, kulluha ayatun min ayatir rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is a sign of Allah's mercy. But if we look at the Muslim community, unfortunately now, we are a community that is rocked with a very sick type of racism, a very sick type of bigotry, a very sick type of arrogance. أَنَا خَيْرُ مِنْهُ خَلَقَتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. As mentioned in the Quran, Allah quotes Shaitan as saying, I'm better than him. You made me from fire, you made him from clay. It's a sickness. And that's when one of my teachers used to tell me that the stronger your aqidah is, the stronger your tawheed is, the more love you will find for the Muslims, wherever they're from. Because when you say La ilaha illallah, when you say there's nothing in existence worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remove all of those kind of dunya sicknesses from your heart. And you're not looking at people for being abyad or aswad or ahmar, but you're looking at them for being muwahideen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And there's a beautiful example of this of Sayyid ibn Musayyib, who they call Imam al-Tabi'een. He was such a great scholar that the Shafi'is in the hadith marasil, you know, they would take the marasil of Sayyid ibn Musayyib. Those hadith where the Sahabi is not mentioned. The Tabi' says, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The student of the Sahaba, they did not meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith is called Mursal. Arsalahu ila nabiyyina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bir riwaya. Meaning that he mentioned the Prophet without mentioning the Sahabi who he heard it from. In most situations, people will say, this hadith must be weak because there's someone missing in the chain. But the Shafi'is, as well as the Malikis, and the Malikis, of course, we have different conditions for Marasil. As mentioned, as you see in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu, inshallah, we'll read the Muwatta, inshallah, soon here. That Imam al-Shafi'i in his madhab said, because of the maqam of Sayyid ibn Musayyib, the great status of this Imam, we take Marasil from him. Because we know of his status. You know, in his lifetime, he had a very beautiful daughter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a beautiful daughter. Subhanallah. And everyone wanted to marry his daughter. The kings, the princes, the governors, the people of money, the businessmen. Everybody was hoping they could hook up with the bint of the sheikh. We know how that goes. We'll hook me up that bint of the sheikh, B. So everybody, unfortunately, was trying to hook it up with his daughter. He kept saying, no, no, no. Even the Khalifa proposed his son to his daughter. He said no. And then he said to the people, I have the best husband for her, was his student. And his student was a slave. And his student wasn't from a great tribe. His student, even they say he wasn't very handsome. And when he proposed his daughter, he talked to his daughter about this man. She was ecstatic. She was ecstatic and she accepted. And from their lineage came a large number of salihin. ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. So here's just one example of one moment in time where someone was able to look past economic differences, social differences, ethnic differences, racial differences, differences in social status, and make the right call. And from that right call came Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and other salihin from this marriage. Imagine if this whole ummah now, today we pledge never to use the word abid. You know, I'm sorry to say, sometimes I hear brothers overseas and sisters, you know, when they talk about someone of color, they say abid and emma, slave man and slave woman. Na'udhu billah. You know, how could you say something like that? What would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to you if he heard you say that? He will say to you what he said to Abu Dharr, Anta rajulun, you are a man who still has a quality of jahiliyyah in you. You are a person who still has a quality of ignorance in you. So we should make a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know what known us. نُطَّهِرْ أَلْسِنَتِنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ الْقَبِيحَةِ. We should remove those sick words from our tongue. And also this applies to the N-word in English. The N-word. I know in certain ethnicities, that's between you, because you have to negotiate your culture. But people outside of that ethnicity, they should stay away from using the N-word, because it's offensive. And I remember once I saw some young kids, they were from Pakistan or India, and they're like, what's up? I said, what are you talking about? Where do you think you're from? Oh, I'm from Wayland. Wayland was like ghetto love, right? Not aware that that word hurts people, bothers people, and it's indicative of a sickness in the heart, a sickness in the heart. So number one, as a community, we should really move beyond, unfortunately, the sick racial and ethnic politics that plague us institutionally, socially, and communally. And that was something that Martin Luther King Jr. did. If the Prophet met Martin Luther King Jr., and he met many of the Muslims, I bet he would say, as far as this sunnah is concerned, this non-Muslim held to this sunnah greater than you do.
that this non-Muslim held to this sunnah greater than you do? And how would we feel being the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam, knowing that someone who doesn't even believe in our faith outperformed us in one of the important sunnah of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The second thing that we learn from his life is to differ without being, or to differ without being disagreeable. And unfortunately, we find within the Muslim community the inability to exercise differences without being disagreeable. It's unfortunate, man, because our tradition is a tradition of differences. You know, the first day I walked into Kulit al-Sharia in Azhar, the Sheikh, he told me, al-fiqhu min bab al-dhunun. You know, the Sheikh was the Mufti who taught us. He said, fiqh is a speculative science. We said, ma ma'ana min bab al-dhunun. What does it mean? It's a speculative science. He said, it means people, they're going to differ a lot on issues, on rulings. And I said to him, can you give us an example? He said, I'll give you one example. Is Imam Ahmed. I was shocked because usually if you have differences, there has to be two parties or three parties or four parties or five parties, right? But one person. So I said to myself, how could one person differ on an issue? He said, Ata'alam, do you know that Imam Ahmed, Sayyidina Imam Ahmed, radiallahu anhu, on one issue, he had 18 different opinions in his lifetime. He differed with himself 18 times. I said, Subhanallah. I never heard of someone differing with themselves more than 18 times. He said, وَهَذَا مِنْ بَابِ حُسْنِ تَوَضُعِهِ. And this is from his humility. رضي الله تعالى عنه. One of the issues that comes up every year is al-mawlid. احتفال بمولد سيد الأولين والآخرين. And what happens, we find, you know, sometimes the community, people get upset, they start to argue, start to fight, and they forget this important lesson. We should differ without being disagreeable. I remember my first year in Al-Azhar, in the college, not in the high school. I have a high school degree from Egypt, alhamdulillah. I remember my first year, there was one teacher, his name, mashallah, he was a great mufti, alhamdulillah, he was our sheikh also in Dar Ifta, Sheikh Hilali. You know, he presented an issue, and there was one brother, he got really upset, raised his hand, his face was red, was hot, man. Dude was hot. And the Sheikh, he said to him, As-sana ula ant. He said to him in Arabic, you must be from first year students. He said, how do you know that? He said, because fourth year students, they don't argue like this. Only first year students. Only the pups. The pups are immature. So this issue of mawlid, to celebrate the mawlid or not celebrate the mawlid, first of all, this is an issue of ijtihad. We have to make this very clear. This is an issue where the scholars differed from the very early days. In fact, Al-Khattab Al-Maliki, Kha, not Ha. He's the first one to write the book, Tanwir bi Mawlid Bashiri wa Nadir, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he wrote this book in the 5th century, he was a great Maliki faqih. When he wrote this book, the Khalifa gave him 500 gold pieces. He did not punish him. He gave him 500 gold pieces. And Al-Maqarizi, radiallahu anhu, the great historian, he said, from that time to my time, and he lived in the 9th century, he said, all the people who were Khalifa, from that time to this time, celebrated the Mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu with the ulama, especially the scholars of hadith and the scholars of fiqh. The point is that I want to make here, and I'm pro-Mawlid, I have to be honest with you, but I respect the other opinion, alhamdulillah, that this opinion is something that the scholars differed on. You're not going to read about the scholars fighting, destroying a masjid, killing each other, talking bad about each other. They will argue the positions. They will discuss the positions like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and how Ibn Hajar, he answered Ibn Taymiyyah, and As-Suyuti answered Ibn Taymiyyah, and As-Sakhawi answered Ibn Taymiyyah in his position on the mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam, but they did not allow it to destroy their brotherhood. In fact, I'm reminded of a beautiful story of Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Imam al-Shafi'i, once he was arguing with his student, and it got heated to the point that his student got up and ran away. Al-Shafi'i, he ran after him and he grabbed him and he said, don't forget your brother. Don't forget the brotherhood. Unfortunately, every year in America, a number of things happen that destroy our brotherhood. Mawlid. Should we fast Ramadan in this time or that time? Should we break our fast and Eid on this time or that time? Should we vote? Should we this?
It should not destroy our brotherhood. كلها من باب الاجتهاد. All of these are areas where the scholars are going to differ. In fact, Imam al-Suyuti, رضي الله تعالى, he wrote a very good book, حسن المقصد في عمل بالمولد. And in that book, he mentioned how the scholars differed on this issue and how other scholars said, it's okay. The point I want to make, though, is that the mawlid is not a bid'ah in the strong sense of the word. Bid'ah hasana and the jumhur fuqaha. And this definition of a good bid'ah and a bad bid'ah is found in all four schools of thought. The Hanafis, the Malikis, the Shafis, and the Hanbalis. Hum fuqaha. Those ulama who came after them, after the time of Sheikh Abdul Wahhab, radiyallahu anhu, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and this started with Ash-Shatibi, radiyallahu anhu, they have a different taqseem al-bid'ah. But the majority of the fuqaha, the majority of the ummah, from the beginning of this ummah, as mentioned by Sayyidina Shafi, rahimahullah, has a different understanding of bid'ah. The problem of the English-speaking community is you have been exposed to one discourse, funded, heavily funded to create discord in our community in America. That's a fact, and you have to understand that. If you are stuck in English, you usually are going to be exposed to one way of thinking. No matter what corner you turn, unless you sit with the scholars, you're going to find it very difficult to navigate to the position of the majority. This is a fact, taken from someone who converted 20 years ago and went through maybe what you're going through now. And I say that with all respect. It doesn't mean that those opinions are wrong, but it means it's not the only opinion. It's very important to understand that there are a number of differences on the issue. So Imam al-Sakhawi radiallahu ta'ala, he said that as for the mawlid, this is one of the best things that happens in our day. Imam al-Nawi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that as for bid'ah hasana, one of the best bid'ah hasana we ever saw in our life was the establishment of the mawlid of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Imam al-Nawi radiallahu anhu. Whether you differ or you don't differ, who will abuse Imam al-Nawi? Subhanallah, don't think it's not possible. The great Qadi, Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, you know, he's the great scholar, like Imam al-Nawi, but he didn't pray like this, like most Malikis, and he went into one masjid in Morocco, and he started praying like this, and people, they almost killed him. So don't think just because a great scholar or a great faqih, people didn't try to harm them. They did. And that's because, unfortunately, we haven't mastered the art of differing without being disagreeable. Imam al-Suyuti mentions two dalil for observing the mawlid of the Prophet. The point about I want to make here is we should not say it's bid'ah madhmuma, because bid'ah madhmuma means laysa laha asal. It has no tafsil al-shar'i, it has no fundamental basis. Imam al-Suyuti radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the first evidence is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fasted on Mondays. When people ask him, why you fast on Mondays, he said, this is the day I was born. يعني بين العلة, as al-Suyuti he mentions. Number two, he mentions that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, as related by Imam al-Bayhaqi bi sanad and sahih, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aqa an nafsihi marratain, that the Prophet made aqiqah for himself twice. One was by his uncle, but the second as an old man in Medina. The Prophet, as related to us by Anas, with sound isnad, he made the aqiqah for himself. As-Suyuti, he said, وَهَذَا الدَّلِيلِ, this is an evidence, this means it's not bid'ah. This is an evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was showing us the importance of his day of birth. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi. The point I want to make is, honestly, I'm happy with whatever position you choose. I'm not here to force you. But what I want to do is bring some maturity to our communities. We cannot destroy ourselves over issues like this when we have bigger problems in our community. Look at Syria. Look at Egypt. Look at the illiteracy rate of Muslims in some countries. I traveled to one Muslim country. The illiteracy rate amongst women is 60%. If we were more encouraged and more motivated to remove polio and illiteracy from the Muslim lands and to build proper Muslim communities where we are able to serve each other, then these little issues, wallahi, things will be much better. So the point I want to make is, regardless of what position you choose, these are not issues that we should destroy ourselves over. Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said in Al-Umm that the issues of ijtihad, these issues where scholars are going to differ, no one should raise his hand to another person, meaning he should not hit or she should not hit that person, nor should they abuse that other person. But as I mentioned in the beginning of the khutbah, they should discuss them
with justice. And they should engage them with proofs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we differ, to not forget that we are brothers. Look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his companions to Bani Qurayza, and he said, pray Asr when you reach Bani Qurayza. And they differed in Sahih Bukhari. As they were going to Bani Qurayza, the time of Maghrib came, and some Sahabi said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not know that we're going to miss this time of Maghrib, we have to pray Asr now. The other, they said, la, we have to obey the letter of the law. We'll pray after Maghrib, even Asr. So you had two groups. They didn't fight each other. They didn't kill each other. They didn't destroy each other. They didn't make YouTube posts about each other. They didn't blog about each other. They didn't slander each other. And they got there, and the Prophet ﷺ, he did not say, you're right or you're right. He sanctioned both actions. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this hadith is one of the most important hadiths in the Bab al-Iftah and Bab al-Ijtihad, because it creates a sense of ethics and love and brotherhood and sisterhood, even if we differ. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us learn this important point from the life of Martin Luther King, that junior, that we as a community, we can differ and we will have our differences, but we should not destroy ourselves. We should not wreck ourselves, but we should remember that we are one ummah, even if we have small fractures, not major fractures. And you never amputate because of a fracture, but you make sure you treat it. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wahid sufufana. كما نسأل سبحانه وتعالى يحفظ إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان. أسك الله سبحانه وتعالى يطهر قلوبنا من النفاق وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعمالنا من الرياء. أسك الله سبحانه وتعالى آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. أسك الله سبحانه وتعالى to remove the disease of racism from our hearts. أسك الله سبحانه وتعالى to replace that with love, inshallah, for every Muslim brother and sister, and humanity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us benefit truly from the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah in a way that it will bring nur into every action of our being. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless those who have become Muslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide their parents to Islam, to open the hearts of their parents to the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide their family members and their friends and those around them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the people of Somal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our brothers and sisters in Palestine and in Egypt and in Syria and Kashmir and Bangladesh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the people of our neighborhood that we live in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a benefit to them, an extension of the mercy of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wassalamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.